She is the senior center fielder for the now four-time Pac-12 champion Ducks, leads this machine in batting average at .415, ridiculous on-base percentage of .503 from San Pedro High in L.A., who also gave us D.L. Hughley and Annalie Fisher, one of the first women in space. We bring in Coral Costa. Coral, thanks so much for your time. How you doing?
Well, thanks for having me. I'm doing great. Just finished up practice, actually.
First things first, I know a few weeks back you tweaked your neck, missed four games, got back about 2 weeks ago. So you back on track, all okay health-wise?
Well, you know, that was a freak accident, actually, which was kind of weird because I was just stretching in my bed and turned my neck and, you know, it locked up on me. But, you know, right now I feel a little rusty. Getting back into the swing of things, but I'm just trying to, you know, work out the kinks and get back to the more finessed Coral.
I like that. And getting in the swing of things, being a baseball player, I see what you did there. Also, you know, reading your bio, I learned you've got two sisters, Courtney, Crystal. Your name all spelled with a K. So
is
that all related to mom being a Kim, or is that just a cool way to spell those names?
Well, I think it's a little bit of both, you know. My mom's name's Kimberly, and my oldest sister is Crystal, the middle one's Courtney, and I'm Coral. And they chose my name to be, you know, obviously Coral Reef, like with a C, but they chose the K to stick with the theme. And my dad's name's Daniel. So, but we have two dogs named Cody and Cole, also spelled with a K.
Oh, so, awesome. What kind of dogs?
Bernese Mountain Dogs, two of them.
All right. No, you're talking to a dog freak here. We've got three dogs. My wife's got a dog walking business, so that's just awesome. Before we get into this team, I want to talk about another aspiration of yours. There was a really great story in the Emerald yesterday. As a journalism and cinema studies major, you've been part of an effort to kind of film all that's happening. So what's been your role and maybe the main objective behind this effort called Keep It Real?
Yeah, so I'm currently in an internship with the video department for athletics, and we wanted to start a guinea pig series, you know, the first of its kind, to follow a team closely, you know, get the practices, get the lifts, really the in-between moments, capturing those, and get the real side of women's sports, specifically our team. And, you know, it's capturing the personal moments and highlighting players for who they really are off the field and getting to know us more. And we think that these stories that we tell or producing the weekly shows will help fans and audiences relate to us more and, you know, make them want to come see our game.
You know, I'd imagine that there were certain teammates who might not have been too thrilled about having a camera in their face all the time. But from when you started through now, how would you say they've adjusted? And would I be accurate in saying some have actually gotten comfortable and enjoy this whole process?
Right. You know, at the beginning, in practices, we don't all wear makeup and we're not all done up as we are during the games that are televised. So meant to be on camera, and, you know, we just wanted them to get more familiar and, you know, be able to be in front of the camera, because once you get to postseason, cameras are in your face. You can't get away from them. Whether it's on or off TV, you're constantly being followed and looked at. So, yeah, you know, over time, as a player myself, you get used to having the cameras around and media around and constantly doing interviews. And certain players have gotten comfortable with the ideas of a cameraman being constantly over their shoulder and watching them.
We're talking with Duck center fielder Coral Costa. Coral with a K. So fess up here. Who are some of the biggest hams on the team who now just love when the camera's on?
Well, Haley Decker was one of them. At first, she, you know, when we were first shooting, she hated, "Get the camera off me, my hair's not done." And then Janelle Linville as well, actually, she still kind of doesn't like to be filled, to be honest. But, yeah, I would say those two are the major ones. Nikki Udrea doesn't really like to be filmed, and now she it doesn't bother her anymore, really.
Now, all right, I don't want you to sell out all your teammates, just a couple. coming out of high school, you got to play immediately as a freshman. That year you played multiple positions. Obviously, it was a terrific team. What do you remember, maybe about taking the field for the first time as a Pac-12 player, that opening game against Western Michigan in Tempe? What was going through your head as you started to realize, wow, I'm a Pac-12 player now?
Right. So before I even started playing here when I was a senior in high school, I looked at the roster, obviously, and I asked myself, now how am I going to start on this team? This team is jam-packed with talent, and there I don't see no open position. So really it was just about either being a utility player and just being open to possibilities wherever coach threw me at in practice. So in the fall, he had me practicing in the outfield. And then we had winter break. And then I come back, and he threw me at third base for the fall game, and he kept me there. Now, I want you guys to know that I've never played the hot corner in my life. And to be an outfielder, you have all the time in the world to adjust and move your feet to the ball. And then going to the hot corner on the field, it was a major adjustment to be had. But I eventually got the hang of things, and I learned that playing third base is a reactive position. So I just went along the lines of those, and I did pretty well, so he just kept me there.
Now, as a freshman, you mentioned you had just an incredible amount of talent on this team. A, who were some of the upperclassmen who helped kind of guide you along as a freshman? And in turn, now that you're a senior, do you feel that similar obligation to kind of help along the younger players?
Yeah. Totally. I would say the ones that have been most impactful for me would be the Janie Takeda in the outfield, of course. My freshman year specifically, Samantha Pappas, she was an outfielder, and she was a goofball kind of like me, but she got the work. She got the work done, and that's what it takes. You have to know when to be serious and when to not be serious and when to have fun and, you know, when to perform when the job calls for you. And I would say Jess Moore, too. And Courtney Cio, and they're all about professionalism. And they Cio was an awesome, arguably one of the best hitters in the country. So she would, you know, just get the job done and get on base for us and start the rally. And Jeff Moore would just constantly be resilient, that resilient pitcher, regardless of what happened on the mound. We know we can count on her. And I would say those are the key players that have influenced me the most here at Oregon.
Now, kind of an observation, getting back to what you just said. You know, you see Sheridan Hawkins, you know, skip out to the circle, to the way it looks like your team interacts so well together. You guys seem to have what I call the joy of the game. So, you know, obviously you put in the hard work. You do your schoolwork. You make that commitment. But as one of those senior leaders with Haley and Jerry Ann and Janelle, how important is it that you also show those younger players, hey, this should also be a lot of fun?
Right. So we had a huge incoming class this year with the freshmen. I think there was eight of them. And the first part in the fall was just teaching them about the culture of our program and how things work, the dynamics of practice and lifting and how serious we take things here. And, you know, sometimes it's not all fun and games. You have to be business-like and you have to get the job done in order to play. But then you have to also know and find the balance, because if you don't find the fun in the sport, it's not fun. And when it's not fun, you hate life. So sometimes it feels like, I'm not going to lie, that the players are versus the coaches and vice versa. But you just have to know that they're hard on you for your best interest. And they're going to be hard on you because they want you to be the most successful on the field. And I think teaching the freshmen, you know, the dynamics of how things work here and the culture that Oregon portrays is really hard as a senior. But in the end, they either catch on or they don't. And that's what it's all about, you know, who can who can catch on, basically.
Well, you obviously got, all of you are catching on pretty well. You've won this Cutthroat Conference 4 years in a row. I wanted to ask about, you know, I mentioned what you went through as a freshman. And obviously, with Sheridan at the front end of the rotation, there was an open spot for somebody to be behind her. And Megan Kleist has filled that role. So if you could kind of give me an evaluation from the moment she came in, how well suited you thought she was, and the kind of performance she's turned in with such high expectations as a freshman this year.
Megan's a great story because when she first came on the team, we heard that she was coached by Coach Roberts. He was our volunteer coach last year or 2 years ago for the pitchers, and he did a great job with helping alleviate the stresses that Coach White had on to teach the pitchers. But also, so knowing that Coach Rob and Coach White were on the same page and that he coached Megan was good to know as a senior, that we were going to get someone on our roster that knew the dynamics and knew the culture that we wanted to keep. And Megan has just done a great job. To be honest, I don't consider her a freshman,
right,
because she has done wonders for this program already, and it's great to have her behind Sheridan. And with those two hot, it seems that we're unstoppable.
All right, final thought for Coral Costa as you guys get ready for another postseason run. You're a little over 48 hours Friday night against Fordham. So you've been to the World Series two straight years. When you think about this group, be it the experience of having been there or maybe any other factor, what's filling you with the confidence that, we could actually win this thing?
Yeah, so this is a conversation that we had at yesterday's practice. Our coach asked us how we felt about the postseason and how we've been portrayed in the postseason. And a lot of our reactions were that we've been overrated in the past and that we get there and we choke. But, you know, this year coming in ranked fifth, I think it kind of helps relieve some of the stresses and the pressures put on, because we were number one at one point. Last year we were ranked number one,
right,
I believe. So we had the pressures of, we can't lose. Oh, my God, we're ranked number one. We are the best team. We can't lose. Versus this year, now we have some room, like, we aren't the best team. We need to prove that we are the best team, and we'll be the last standing on the field. There's a difference in the rankings, which you can't really look at as a player. You have to let, you know, people talk, and rankings are rankings, you know.
Sure.
So we all know that at the World Series, SEC has dominated. That is not the secret, you know, but it's a matter of turning it around and just performing that given day, because any team can win on any given day.
All right, you can follow her on Twitter. Use the handle at CoralCosta7. She'll be in the middle of this dynamite lineup to start the regional Friday night. So you stay healthy. Keep that camera handy. Best of luck in the postseason. We appreciate you checking in to talk about all you've got going on. Thanks so much for joining us, Coral.
Thank you.